March 14th, 2019, it's the Watt Pedro Show.
It's to seal your heart. Well, I just had a heart to tell you.
Pedro Show. Hey, Brother Matt. Happy Thursday.
Yes, time change. New world.
That's right. You sprung ahead.
Yeah.
And in fact, tomorrow is Ides of March.
Oh, yes.
15.
Oh, there's our guest, Brother Matt.
Hey, hello.
It's not just me. Hi. It's a pleasure point. Love Grotto. Wow.
Hello.
Welcome.
The wonders of Skype, we got Elizabeth LaFay of Globeblamp.
Calling from the OC?
You do. I'm here.
Welcome to Pedro.
Which part?
Who?
Orange County.
Oh, I'm in LA right now. I'm in Highland Park.
A little north Orange County. But you're from South Orange County, right?
I'm from Morris County, yeah. Okay. I'm from Mission Viejo and Dana Point.
The old Mission and Dana Point. Yeah, right on the border.
Chow-chow. It's like an hour and a half. Yeah, it's very southern.
Yeah, it's by because the Cho House in San Juan
Capistrano. Yeah, the Cho House.
Well, known here as the Cho House, where it can be like freezing outside, but the people working there is sweating up a storm.
You work there?
No, I never work. Oh, well, I've done gigs there. In fact, I was just—they got the tables that come right up to the stage. You could dance on them. And we are opening for X in the second minute. We started off with John Coltrane doing Mr. Sims with his classic quartet. And then Globeblamp doing St. Cecilia from this new album, Romantic Cancer, that you made. Elizabeth, what's your earliest musical recollection?
Just in general, music?
Yeah, if you went back in your mind and you tried to find your earliest memory regarding music, what would that be?
Like Guns N' Roses? Something? Like Wolf of the Jungle or like Girls, Girls, Girls or like also The Doors and Neil Diamond. A lot of weird. My mom was like Mom was like an 80s hair rocker, so when I was like a baby, like she'd be blasting, you know, there was no like limits. So my mom didn't care, like I'd be listening to Shout at the Devil when I was like two. So,
okay, so she had a record collection.
Yeah, more like CD, but yeah, she had a bunch of CDs, a lot. Like she's the one, she showed me, she grew up raising, like, okay, I definitely am a product of pop culture because as a little girl, I really love pop music, like Britney Spears and stuff, but my mom raised me, like, listening to rock, so I'd always, like, known about, like, Well, like, I remember as a kid, I always thought Jim Morrison, for some reason, listening to Doors, I thought he was, I used to call him the monster to my mom, so I thought he was this big, creepy, like, I don't know what I thought he was, but I saw him, I was, like, very surprised, you know, because I'd listen to a little girl, he had this deep voice, and my mom's really like, Nirvana, Hole, Smashing Pumpkins, The Carpenters, like, The Beatles, just, like, every, like, classic type of music, you know, my mom, David Bowie, my mom was a very big music fan, and she never played music, but she put me in music at a really young age.
So at the house, there was albums, CDs, but no instruments?
Well, she got me a keyboard. She put me in piano, and I was like five.
Ah, what was that like? Was it positive or negative?
It was good. I played piano all the way, with a teacher until I was like 13, but then I didn't want to practice, so I quit, but it's definitely laid the foundation for me being a songwriter.
Was she a good teacher?
Yeah, her name was Ingrid.
Okay, because we've had people on the show here that had very negative experience with piano teachers. Almost made them hate music. Then we've had other people, yeah, very positive, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, it started getting negative because I didn't want to practice, but that was more on me, you know?
Sure. This was more like blitz stuff, like I want you to play stuff you don't like and, whatever.
Exactly.
Just bad attitude.
You know, reading sheet music, I was like, this is hard. I could do it a little bit, but I didn't want to get that in depth with it, you know? And like,
sure.
But it did help. I tried playing the flute, too, at school. That was not a good experience. I used to just pretend to play.
I was going to ask you, Elizabeth, at school, did you do music? Were you in the choir, the school band, the marching band, stuff like that?
I was in choir at one point in one school, and then I did play the flute in band, but that's the thing. I was really bad. I don't know why I chose the flute. It was so hard. For me, it was very hard to play, and I remember during the concerts, I would just pretend to play. I'd stand up there and, like, be, like, blowing into it, and nothing would come out. I was horrible at it. I mean, well, I really wish I would have picked a different instrument. Well, now, actually, my friend has a flute,
yeah.
And I tried playing it, and it's, you know, I think it might have been part of my laziness, too, when I was that age. But it is kind of hard.
Well,
but like I just wanted to play the trumpet actually because my uncle is a professional trumpet player, and when I was little, I was the only person in my family who could make a note on a trumpet, and I was like three.
Oh wow, that's great.
Yeah, and my brother plays the trumpet. He's 14.
Wow, but when you were playing flute in the school band, there was probably more than one flute player, right?
Yeah, there were. I think a lot. I think a few of them were pretending.
It wasn't like, just you pretending.
Yeah, like when I was at my brother's recital, he pointed out some kids doing that, and I was laughing, and I was like, I used to do that.
Like the chest ain't moving, you know there's no air coming out. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I want to play Everything's a Spiral here, okay?
There was a desert land, there was a drive up north, there was a sea. Search the harps along the ring, and find you with your latest fan club of blurry and blurry. I know what you think, but the words just flew from my mouth like starlings desperately heading south. You are my drunken starling. I'm not afraid of poverty, I'm not afraid of base.
baby, you don't believe in you and me. What is your philosophy? Is it to kill our divinity? She is the sorceress of your soul. You didn't know you part of. Maybe you don't believe in magic, but it's all she ever had. You don't believe in love, baby, no. Such thing as loyalty. What is your philosophy? Is it to kill our divinity? She is the sorceress.
Well, for Pedro show, yeah, started that chunk of music off with Everything's Spiral from Globe Lamp. And people, we're talking about a lamp in the shape of a globe. So get off of the flat earthers. Then we had something brand new from Italy, from Bologna, a band called Cut, a tune called Bad Chromosome. These people had me play bass and help them with some spiel on it when I was out touring with Il Sogno di Bianaio a year and a half ago. Bright O'Brien, after that, with Drunken Starlet. Bright O'Brien's a proj with JB, who was on the show last week.
Oh, yeah, JB, yeah.
Nelson, Willie Nelson's granddaughter. That was a neat little visit.
Yeah, it was cool.
On the ukulele.
I'm just chilling.
Okay. Mini Beast after that.
You know Eddie, you know Eddie from the Redwood?
Sure, Eddie Lopez.
Eddie, he's my homie. He just came over and brought me some coffee. I'm chilling with him.
Cool.
All right. Yeah, Eddie, Electric Fuzz.
Special delivery.
Then we had Mini Beast.
I played a residency there at the Redwood last year.
I'm going to be there, I think, in May. There was a period where I played there every month for a year.
Hurley's on the bill.
George Hurley. Minuteman.
Cool.
Minuteman. Oh, yeah, he's got a band with Joe Dean called Wrinkling Brothers.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, they're no... But back to the playlist here, Mini Beast.
Yeah, sorry, just got to tell you that.
That's okay, Liz. Mini Beast, right. And that's a proj from Peter Prescott. He's living in Providence now, drummer of Mission in Burma. And they got two new albums coming out. Speaking of new albums, another brand new one, Bob Pollard, Guy by Voices, My Future in Barcelona. Or Barcelona. Sun Watchers and Eugene Chadbourne, It's Going to Be Easy. Lorne, album of rarities with Diadera. And then the Phil Spector's feel specters at Oklahoma City with spelunking in your heart. And finally, Globe Lamp, sorceress of your soul. Okay, Lisbon, back to your journey in music. Did you do the thing like with friends after school in the basement or the bedroom or the garage, those kind of bands?
No, I was more of like, I wanted to. I was very shy. Like when I was in high school and stuff, I wanted to be in drama. I remember I wanted to be in musicals. I was so shy to perform. Like, you know, like I said, I played music at a young age, but I had zero confidence when it came to like being on stage. So I always dreamed about being a musician, but I was always growing up in high school, I really wanted to be a director or a photographer or a writer, the three of them. Like, you know, I write short stories and poems all the time. And then I realized I could like put those to my, I played instruments at home. I had a guitar, you know, I taught myself guitar because I had piano. Like the piano knowledge is what I'm saying really helped me learn guitar quick. And then so I would just look up songs I liked and just see what chords they were. And I just like taught myself guitar and I practiced secretly. Like nobody really knew, you know, it's like I kind of like did it in secret. And when Globe Lamp started, it was like a lot of people were very surprised in my life. Like they didn't even know I played music.
Well, when was your first gig, Lisbon?
I don't even know. It was like 6 or 7 years ago.
And what was it like?
A gig or the first time I ever played in front of people?
Yeah, well, yeah, I usually call a gig playing in front of people, but sometimes people don't show up. You call those character building.
The first time I ever played in front of anybody when I was scared, I wrote a song.
Yeah.
Actually, with Everything's a Spiral, that was like a very old song of mine, so I just never recorded. Yeah, I never recorded that song because I don't know why. I did, but I didn't like it, so I re-recorded it. Felt like I needed a re-release. So that was the first song I wrote, and then one of them. And I remember my friend told me that he would play at open mic, too. We had been practicing in his garage for, like, all week. And then when we get there, he chickened out, you know?
Figures.
But I did it. And that was, like, the first time I ever playing in front of anybody. I, like, did it, and he chickened out, and I played. And then I realized, oh, wow, it wasn't that scary.
What's his name?
There weren't that many. My friend?
Yeah.
Ivan.
Ivan, you shouldn't have been scared.
Yeah, very bold move on your part, confronting your shyness and powering forward.
Yeah, where was this open mic?
That was in Orange County. That was very weird because that was down here. That was in Mission Viejo. And then, but I didn't have a name for Globe Lamp. It kind of did, but I always had that as my email because I just liked it. But then I got an internship at, I moved to Olympia, Washington. And I had an internship at K Records.
Sure.
You know P. Merkin?
Yeah. And so one of my first shows was, like, playing this weird festival with...
No, Calvin. K-Records is Calvin. Yeah.
Yes, Calvin, yes. He made me a lot more confident, too, since I was an intern. He would, like... I played a show with him. That was one of my first shows.
Oh, he's balls out. I've seen him do gigs.
Right? Like, he made me feel like, man, I can get up there. He was like, oh, God.
Yeah, he'll do gigs a cappella, right? Just, oh, I'm a young pioneer. He's balls out. Much respect.
It made me have some more it made me have more confidence, you know? Like, it gave me, like, a little bit. I play alone. I'm a solo performer, so it's like, seeing Calvin up there, I'm like, wow, he really has a lot of confidence. Like, I need to get some of that, you know? I don't know, it just developed over time, but moving to Olympia definitely made me a better, I don't know, like, it's like, moving to Olympia, I feel like I might not have became the musician I am if I didn't.
Sure. Did you get to meet Toby? Maggie?
I've never met Toby, but... I do know some other, like Calvin. I know Calvin and Eric. Do you know Arrington?
No. I know Slim.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The Kill Rock star, Slim Moon.
Yeah, I wish. They're not in Olympia anymore. I wish. That was, like, right. I thought that. I actually like Kill Rock star. That was, like, growing up, they were more of my favorite one. Label, but.
You know there's going to be, hey, Elizabeth, you know there's going to be some Bikini Kill gigs.
Yeah, I know. I think the lead singer, Captain Hannah, blocked me on Twitter, so I don't know if I'm going to be going to the
Grandma, oh no. Oh no.
Oh, I got a lot of calls.
Okay, I think it should be at the Palladium. I mean, I think there's some big gigs.
I know, they are.
Okay, Kathleen. Well, you know Kathleen's always had a lot of fun.
I like went. I went to, it's kind of funny because I went to Evergreen because of Kathleen, you know? Like, this is, like, you're talking to someone who's, like, a huge Bikini Kill fan. So, like, her blocking me, like, it's, like, I'm laughing about it, but it did hurt me. Like, I was, like, she influenced me to go to, like, that's who, like, I mean, I was, like, Nirvana.
Yeah.
Then it was, like, I got into Bikini Kill as a teenager, and it really, like, opened my mind to a lot of stuff. So, it's, like, she definitely changed my life. The first concert I ever went to alone was La Tigra.
Ah, yeah. The prod she did after Bikini Kill.
Yeah.
What was the first record you bought for yourself?
I remember buying...
Not your ma's music, but stuff you wanted.
Yes. I remember buying something corporate through the window, leaving through the window, and I remember, that was like in seventh grade, and I remember in eighth grade buying Bright Eyes, a collection of songs, like this really old CD they had it at Borders.
Oh, Connor.
Love Connor.
Yeah, I could, you know, I can tell a little influence.
Because there's accordion players on my album. James Felice, the Felice Brothers.
Sure.
Long romantic.
Have you ever been to Omaha?
No, I want to. I'd like to romanticize, even though it's like a cornfield and cold. It's fucking like in the middle of...
Well...
No. It, but I mean, Bright Eyes, like, seriously, like, that's why I became a musician. Like, I remember seeing, I've always been a fan for a long time, but I saw Connor by himself once alone. It's even crazier because when I saw Connor alone, James Felice was playing in the band. It's a backup band. And so to have him on my album, it was, like, so cool to have it come full circle, to have James there. And I got to tell him, you know, and I was like, dude, the show you played out with Connor is what inspired me to be Globe Lamp, and now you're, like, on my album. Like, I just was like, what? Like, I never would have thought that. It's very, like, you know, I'm a really big music lover. Like, compared to, like, some people who I know who are musicians, I don't know, not everybody, but some songwriters I feel like are too proud to be fans or something, or they don't ever express their, like, I'm, like, very much a fan. Or, like, I'm a musician, but I'm also, like, someone who's, like, if I like your music, I'll be like, oh, my God, like, da-da-da-da-da. And sometimes in the music community, they're not used to that, maybe, because a lot of musicians always play cool or something. Like, they don't show that excitement that maybe a fan would show.
Maybe they see as a competition or something.
Yeah, and I don't like viewing it like that. Maybe that's why.
Like sports or some stupid shit. You know, I gotta tell you about Omaha, though. Because Omaha's in the far eastern. I mean, Nebraska's, you're right, it's got a lot of corn. But Omaha's way in the east, and it's by the river, right? Missouri River. And there's hills, and right across the river is Iowa. I know a little bit because D-Boom's Pop was from around there, those parts. D-Boom was part of Nebraska. You'd probably like it. But kind of tough winters compared to California.
Yeah, I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. So, Olympia, you went to Evergreen, the college there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where the Slater-Kinney people met.
Yeah, there's an exit there called Slater-Kinney. It's like where they got the band name from.
Right. There is, Brother Matt. I think it's the name of two roads or some shit.
It's where Kurt Cobain wrote Nevermind, too.
Is that right?
Yeah, even though everybody thinks it's like Seattle, it's like, it was like, that's where they just moved, you know? It's like, when they got bigger, but it's like, there's a house in Olympia where he wrote this album. There's this weird gas station, and it has like a plaque about how him and Chris Novoselic used to go in there by Snap.
Pedro Boy.
It's so weird. It's in Olympia. It's a random gas station. I only noticed it because I went in there to buy something, and I was like, is this for real? Like, I looked at the plaque, and it was, yeah, they're proud of that. So, yeah, he did. I mean, it's a little known. I think that's why Olympia never got gentrified compared to Seattle, because, you know, people associate Seattle with grunge. They don't, you know, they didn't really, I don't know. That's why Olympia is kind of special, because going there, it's kind of cheap and magical, and, like, it feels like it hasn't been gentrified yet as much. Like, you can still go there and make art, like, maybe in the way, like, you know, in the 60s, you could maybe go to New York and meet other songwriters and, like, go to cafes and have whatever, like, get-togethers and not have a lot of money. And now you couldn't do that. If you go to New York, you'd have to be, like, rich to live there. It's like Olympia has that vibe. There's artists everywhere, and it's, and, you know, in a lot of cities, you get pushed out because of the income and not being able to afford the rent. So I really like that about Olympia, that it still has that, like, it's easy to live there as a working artist.
Yeah, I've played the Capitol Theater a bunch. I played one of the Lady Fests there.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I love the Capitol Theater.
And, yeah, Chris Novoselic, I think till he was 12, he lived here in San Pedro, this town here. We're talking to you from. Yeah. And then I think he met Kurt up at Aberdeen, which is on the coast. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right by the Olympic National Forest.
Yeah, but it's also, it's not in Puget Sound. It's on the coast of the Pacific Ocean, you know.
Yeah, it's like right, it's like more towards the tip. And it, but it's like, the, it's the beginning of like, because I went to this forest when I was hiking, and it's kind of creepy because like you'll be in Aberdeen, and it's like the last town before, like there's, you know, there's different north, south, east, west in Aberdeen. One side of it, like the east side of Aberdeen, it's like literally the last town before this forest. And it's the Olympic National Forest, it's huge, and it's like interesting thinking about how Kurt lived all the way out in fucking like random Aberdeen. It's like, you know, it's very far out there.
Right, and the guy that hit both of them to the movement was Buzz. And Buzz, the first Melvins gig was playing with the Minutemen at the Mountaineer Lodge. So I have some early connects a little bit. It's tricky. It is trippy. And sometimes Chris will come down to, because he's got cousins here. Mm-hmm. So he'll visit San Pedro. Yeah. He lives on a farm.
Yes, family.
Yeah, like a little collective or something. Mm-hmm. Is it Southern Washington or Southern Oregon? He's out in the country.
Probably those two states definitely have some shit like that. Yeah.
I think it's Southern Washington State, and it's really rural. He's not living in a town. He's a good cat, though. You know, for a little while, he was helping Flipper out with some bass. Mm. And here's another connection. Ted and Steve, the original guys in that band, asked me to do a month of gigs with them in Europe with Flipper and David Yao singing. Mm.
Oh.
So I'm going to be taking... In fact, they just gave me the chord chart that was for Chris Novoselic.
Wow.
Small board. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, March 14, 2019, Dishwap Pedo Show. Hold tight for hour two. March 14, 2019, it's the second hour. The Watt Pedro Show.
Me.
Pedro show. Round two. Take two. We started the second hour off with Globe Lamp doing Unnatural Speeds. After we're discussing allegories, possible metaphor, the San Pedro connection. also a typhus connection somewhere from downtown. Watch out, people. Keep your motor clean. Mike Regnet after that with Knee Play, Alex and Josh, Slippery. One of the most bizarre titles ever. But it's some trippy. I think it's out of Brooklyn. So that's what
that makes sense.
You moved to Brooklyn. Okay. And now some music from the Balkans, from Croatia. We got, now these guys were from the early 80s and really bitching. Stanislav Zabic turned me on this up Cleveland. Trobikova Krishne Peshi with Nikad Roba. That's live and don't ask me what it means. But I think the band name was a serial killer guy or some shit. Then Shumsky, which had Cornell last month. I know Shumsky means like kind of a forest. It's also easy to say. I love it. With their tune was Priyateli Se Sele Na Selo. So it's probably a play on words. Looking at how it is there. The Mellow Men after that has got Miroslav on the bass, Komija.
Which a lot of our guys are
from Komija.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a Zagreb guy now, but he goes way back. He was telling us he visits his grandma still. It's on an island called Vis. I don't know if we have Vis people, because there's actually two towns. The bigger one is Vis, but like I've never met anyone in Pedro. They're all Comesia, because I don't think they'd get along. Like most humans. You know. And then finally, Seksa, another Croatian band from the early 80s is incredible. You know, the Minutemen could play gigs with these guys in Marco. And finally, Globelamp with Lookout Mountain, three words. And yeah, I wanted to ask you, Elizabeth, about your songwriting process.
Yes. Well, I was saying that, like, okay, well, some songs are more interesting than others in describing them. Like, for example, Lookout Mountain.
Yeah.
Saying, like, that song is kind of unique in my song, in the way I write songs, because I haven't really written a song like that. Meaning the way I wrote it was a different approach. When I was at school at Evergreen, it's a very non-disciplinary school, so you can, like, turn in songs for a project or poems, anything that actually matches the subject matter. So we're reading this book, The Rest is Noise.
Yes.
And it's like about, music history from the 20th, told through, like the history of the 21st century told through music. And so I accidentally read the wrong chapter, I guess for class. I read this chapter on race and music. I don't know, but we were supposed to read something else, but I wrote a song about it. So it's like not only, I come to class and everyone's sharing their project or their paper and I'm like, no, it has nothing to do with what I just wrote, you know? I'm, like, thinking, like, oh, shoot, like, what the heck? Like, I'm, like, am I on the wrong topic? Because everybody's talking about something completely off. And then, but my teachers still give me credit because the song, it sounds like it doesn't, you wouldn't know this stuff unless I explained it because it's based off this book. So it's, like, in there I was reading about this guy, Marion William Cook, and he was an African-American composer. And he was born after the Civil War in Washington, D.C., and he really wanted to be considered a professional musician, but since the racism at the time, like, wouldn't allow him to. And so he used to go to this mountain all the time. And it was called Lookout Mountain. And so the song, it's like, the rest was all noise to me. That's like the title of the book. When I sat on Lookout Mountain, dreaming of better things, no one could tap me on the shoulder and ask me to leave. Because in the book that it was talking about, that was a subtle way of being racist.
Yeah.
You just tap someone on the shoulder and it would be like, you gotta get out of the club. So it's like, nobody would tap me on the shoulder and ask me to leave when I sat on Lookout Mountain. And it's like, imagine, so it's all about like him. And I don't know, I just, that story to me, it really inspired me reading about him, like the stuff he had to go through. It seemed such a struggle, made my struggle, maybe like, you know, I felt like I had to write something about it. And then I turned it in. I've never turned in any, I got credit for this for school too. So this was just a project for school. But then I thought it was an important song, so I started playing it more. That is the only song that's ever been like written like that of mine. Usually I just write from like my journal or, you know, sit down and record some chord progressions on my phone and string together things. I kind of work in a way where I kind of string together things. I can't just sit down and write a song in full in one session. Maybe I'll write the chorus or something or the verse, but yeah, that was a very weird way of writing a song, like reading a book and, you know, writing it like a song based off of it.
But I'll tell you, Elizabeth, I've been inspired by books. there's a level of abstraction that's kind of neat. You don't have to worry about ripping off the licks.
Right? I'm actually inspired by books a lot. Like, when people ask me a lot of stuff, I don't know why, because it's imaginative, and I think I've always liked songs that are imaginative. I mean, music's all over the place. You could like noise, you could like, you know, rap, you could like whatever you like. It's like, but for me, I've always liked lyrical and storyteller type of stuff. Words, I used to want to be a writer.
So, yeah, that makes sense. Or a director, like you were saying.
Or Connor. Like, I think Connor's one of the greatest. Yeah, director. Like, I think Connor Oberst, like, yeah, he's not the best singer of all time. Or, like, it's just, like, but he's such a great songwriter. Like, the lyrics, what he has to say, it's, like, very prolific. Like, and so, like, stuff like that, I mean, I respect that with someone's a good songwriter. It's rare.
Yeah, I respect too. I also respect Brother Matt. He's going to bring us now the spin set.
Brother Matt.
Yeah, cool.
Me too.
Okay. Here we go. She drove a big old Lincoln with suicide doors and a sewing machine in the back. Vowels and bing bangs near the end. Nothing was ever what it was. And a light bulb that looked like an alligator egg was mounted up front on the hood. Had myself a kind of brainstorm. Took a tablespoon of buzz. She had a tattoo gun that she made herself from a cassette motor and a guitar string. X-ray eyes can see right through me. Naked thought, put on your clothes. She always had leaves in her hair. You hear that bunny laughing? Just the caw of ancient crows. She cut two holes in the back of her dress because she had these scapula wings. Somewhere near the raveled edges by the pool of think-a-bits. And they were covered with feathers and electrical tape. And when she got good and drunk, she would sing. Once again, the notion hits me. Half is quite a bit of wits. About Elkhart, Indiana, where the wind is tall and folks mind their own business. Power up that upper story. 10% is all you use. She had 100 old baseballs that she'd taken from kids. She collected bones of all kinds. Take a flight of simple fancy. You're the one who has to choose. And she lived in a trailer under a bridge. And she made her own whiskey and gave cigarettes to kids. Okay, all right for you. Look into the tiger's eye. And she'd been struck by lightning 7 or 8 times, and she hated the mention of rain. See if you can see the desert. Pour a drink, my throat is dry. And she made up her own language, and she wore rubber boots. She could fix anything with string. Poetry ain't gonna catch me. Climb up this high plateau. And her lips were like cherries, and she was stronger than any man. And she smelled like nutmeg and piss. Finish up what you were thinking. Just a day or so ago. And she put mud on a bee sting I got at the creek. And she gave me my very first kiss. Illustrate what visionaries go by a doodle pad. Thank you.
feet, old bones and smoking stones. The dry sand falls, the strawberry mouth, strawberry moth,
strawberry caterpillar,
strawberry butterfly, strawberry field, all the way the old slither, on the heels of today's children, strawberry fields forever.
Young roosters, old brass roosters, into your eggs in a chilly, clean, white, red farmhouse. Tractors calling, people are crawling. Trees in the road, I'm in a coach, we approach. Red, blue, yellow sunset. Chalk man, his jaws made his mark. He crumbled. The dark, the light, the dark, the day. Porcelain children see through white light. Stone cracks and bats, Cheshire cats named. The dark, the light, the dark, the day. Blue face, blue gray, pale tomorrow. Cellular sailboat is of a better kind. Blowing in front palms, swaying in circles. Red, blue, yellow sunset. I've set, you've set, and I've loved, and you've loved, and I've sold, and you've sold. Strawberry fields forever.
Thank you. locked up and she did it all by herself. But even when she got her ass off of the streets, he would visit her in her dreams. The last time she saw her darling was at the funeral parlor. He was fresh off of the prison shell. Yeah, he died with a needle in his eye, but she was clean, clean.
Bag.
Hit that monitor button. Please tell us what made you do what you did to us right now with your spin cyclists.
Well, we started with Ken Nordine. He just died. He's a classic voice. Died a couple weeks ago. So
jazz poet.
Yeah. So we got that one with him and Tom Waits and Jerry Garcia.
Yeah.
And then I got a bunch of new CDs, not MP3s, good old CDs.
The
last couple weeks. So some new tunes in there. New discs, not new tunes.
Speaking of Jerry, I was hearing Bob Weir talk about Jimmy. There's a new trip on Jimmy, Doc. And always, Bob Weir talking is always kind of blurry, but he doesn't hear. Pretty fucking right on. And you know, I tell you, every interview I've read with Jerry Garcia, I wish I could have met the dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got to push his car once.
Did you?
At Frost Theater up at Stanford. They were cutting out backstage, yeah. And it's like this little road that the limo got stuck in a big pothole and needed a push. So they said, hey, let's give Jerry a push. And his hand came out with a missing finger, gives a little wave.
That's better than asking to use your head as like a little thing under the tire. I think that's what happened. He's moving, right? This guy who's... Driver man ran over his head, destroyed him.
Yeah,
an accident.
Damn.
And okay, Elizabeth, you there? Anyway, thanks so much for bringing forth that cyclist.
Certainly.
Yeah. So, right, Lookout Mountain. Okay, that was based on like a school proj. Well, it was the wrong proj, but it was a proj.
Yeah, wrong project, but I got credit.
Still got pretty good. Yeah, that's very good.
So I really, the teacher was like, okay, you really thought about it.
Yeah, well, you know, probably interested in the process that you carried it out, you worked it out through, you know, just because you didn't do what was asked of you, you still did the process, and I think the professor saw that.
I'm sorry, Brother Matt.
What I'm wondering is, I mean, there was an assignment, but what usually inspires you to write a song?
I guess it's kind of weird, but frustration or angst or like being mad or upset, I guess, when I look at it, a lot of,
well, you were talking about your journal.
It's like when I can't, it's like this feeling of not being able to express something that I can't express with words, so usually those are stuff that fits in the category of like upset, frustrated.
You were saying you were saying something before about your journal.
Yep.
So,
because I write down random, like, throughout, I'll make up, you know, a line or something that I think is good, and I'll just write it down, because I don't know what to do with it at the moment. It's like I'm collecting lines, you know, I feel like I'm collecting pieces of, like, stuff, and then I'll flip through the journal when I'm, like, have my guitar or piano, and, like, just look through it and, like, kind of thread things together, like, certain parts I start realizing go together, or... Maybe if I'm more inspired, I'll write longer than just one little piece in my journal. I'll write like a chorus, you know, and then later on add to it. It's more like I'm always writing.
So what I'm wondering about is the word, the lyrics. They come first before the music?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I mean, because they kind of go together, right?
Sure, sure.
But I do use a lot of my words because I'll just go through old journals from the past too and find stuff.
Do different entries make it into the same song sometimes?
Different entries make it into the same Yeah, they do.
Okay, so it's not only just one moment. It's just it's all your stream of conscious.
Yeah, well, because sometimes I just clip, sometimes I'll just clip apart, a line out of a poem I had.
Yeah.
And then I'll, use another line in the poem in a different song later or something. Or I'll take a few parts out of different poems and put them in.
You're talking about a repurpose?
Yeah, I guess. But the original's not out there, so nobody, knows really where it's coming from.
Sure. Pay no attention.
Maybe I'll write.
Pay no attention to that lady behind the curtain.
Yeah.
Right? The Wizard of Oz. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. March 14th, 2019 edition of the Watt for Pedro show. Special guest Elizabeth LeFay. Hold tight for hour three. March 14th, 2019. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Spent all my money here. I lost something. He told me to come over, bring my guitar, my camera. He was wearing a maroon jacket. I was wearing a fashionable
porcelain. Knife white canvas to a stick. A knife in. You wanna stake a claim. Go on and carve your name. My sweat to drown in. Get high on endorphins and control of me. Control of me. A mouth, but I can do things to you. Bite and suck and lick. I want your gun on me. Give me your restraint. I think I'm gonna faint. Cut off my air supply. Your teeth marks up my thighs and take control of me.
this is the first song, pretty much, that I wrote with Looper. So it's called Shadow Trip.
Thank you. crestfallen and crushed on the brink of a new grave. All of the sorrows you daily sail, you light the spark, then you casually turn away. You seem to forget that this heart is in flame. I'm gonna love you past the hesitation in my mind, from the arrow in my heart, from the fire in my soul. Half the pain we can't control. Take me away on a strawberry beam. Wrap me closer in your crow of Marina. When I close my eyes, I'm seeing how I'm gonna love you past the hesitation in my mind, from the arrow in my heart, from the
Where were you?
And
it was 4 a.m. in your downtown Olympia.
Kind of tripping on some mushrooms.
Okay.
Okay, and then I looked over, I'm alone, it's like 4 a.m, and I'm like, see this big, tall figure, and I didn't realize what it was at first, and it was this huge heron, you know?
Yeah.
And I thought it was so beautiful, I like started crying, because I thought it was really gorgeous, okay? And it was like a full moon,
yeah.
But then it made this crazy noise, it was like, and it flew over the lake. And it was really scary because I was like, oh, mushrooms.
No, some birds
never
have.
I started crying because I thought it was so beautiful, okay? But then it heard me. I was like trying to be quiet watching it. But then when I started crying, it saw it. It made that crazy noise.
Yeah.
You know, it looked like it was going to be all beautiful. Like, I was like, oh, like, look at that beautiful bird. And it just.
It sounds like it's throwing up, like vomiting. But you know, that's its song.
Yeah,
that's its
song. Sounds like a dinosaur or something.
And it's got weird kind of turkeys have this too, a little beard in their chest.
Oh,
the feathers, but they're like little hairs. Yeah, they're a trip. They got a cousin. They got a cousin that's smaller and white, and they call them egrets, and they're always down by the rocks at Royal Palm. I did my hobbling route on Royal Palm White Point this morning. I saw some egrets and also some cormorants in the surf. These guys, man, can they swim? Look, this album, A Romantic Cancer. Well, first I should tell you what we played. We started the third off with Birds Down My Back. And then Mikhail Tober, she was on the show a few weeks ago, Bondage. Code Hangers, they were on the show. Mm-hmm. The Live at Alex's with Springfield Cannonball. Details from Romania after that. Girls on the Beach. Yeah, Code Hangers, right? Two of them were Georgia. And one was living out here. Julie Slick out of Philadelphia. Great bass player. Friend of Petra's. National Debt. That's Crane up Idaho. One Fell Swoop. And finally, Goldblamp with No Hesitation. Yeah, I'm curious. No Hesitation.
Yes.
Any insight? I mean, you don't have to talk about it, but any insight?
Sure. Insight into it? Well, to be honest, it has a lot of drama. There's a lot of theme. That's all.
Okay.
But also, it is like a song that's about, you know, like when the whole album is about viewing love as a cancer that you want to avoid and you're afraid of because you think it's like something you don't want to catch. It's like about somebody who's like afraid of falling in love again. So it's like, if you love like a cancer, it's just kind of like thematic, this album in a way. So No Hesitation is like, oh, like, I'm going to love you past the hesitation in my mind, like past the pain. I can't control like all the pain, the past experience. It's kind of, the song is deeper, like the inspiration. Sometimes songs you write about certain things in your life that, you know, it's like then the song becomes bigger than the event.
Sure.
It's like the song to me has a deeper meaning now. Like it was written as like, honestly, like I did, it was written for Laura Jane Grace of Against Me.
Sure.
The song, we had a relationship, a friendship type of deal, and she wrote me a song too called 333. And wanted, Against Me did, and then played it as Against Me, okay, and wanted me to write a song back.
Okay.
And, that was the song I wrote back. It took me a long time to write it, though. It had some drama. Like, she said I didn't write a song fast enough. It's like, it was some music, I mean, for me, it was like a blow. I was a fan of Against Me for a long time, okay? So to have somebody, it's like,
what about this
sorry,
one,
I can't
Lizard?
Write a song as fast as you. Like, it's like,
well, we're all all different. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Song, if you listen to the lyrics, there are like certain things in there that, like, there's an album called New Wave by Against Me.
Sure.
Okay, and there's a lyric beginning that mentions New Wave. Okay, there's a lot of little like things. It's not something that I've talked about it before in another thing. And Laura knows the song was inspired by her, but now I feel like the song has a deeper meaning too. It's like just a song about, you know, getting over your pain and opening up to somebody, I guess.
What about this next one, Lowest Low?
That was like a stream of consciousness song that I wrote once on my phone. Like, I just pressed record and, like, was just saying how I felt. Like, and it was very, like, I just put it on SoundCloud and then people, like, responded to it. And I listened to it sometimes, too, and I liked it because it was so unthought, like I didn't think about it as hard as other songs, and
let's listen.
Why do you wanna be with me? I make people cry. It's been proven time and again. It's better to just be my friend. 'Cause I don't wanna take the crazy things I've seen and put them on to someone wholesome and pure of crystal dreams. Baby, I went down to the
ability. I'm an old woman, alone in my house drinking tea. And you can join me if you like. I was looking for a soulmate since I could breathe. And you can join me if you like. I was looking for a soulmate since I could breathe. But he never found me. He never found me.
Some time in, not too soon for looking out so far. We'll see our lonesome selves looking back like dying frogs in little jars. Well, maybe some time in, not too late for looking in so near. We'll see our bubbly little selves grinning back from here to here. Well, I remember the moment that I first realized I was alive. And oh, this that almost killed me, this that almost killed me. Problem with deception, and sometimes I can't help but appreciate it. Mostly I can tell the difference between a smaller and great with a cup of hope and a whole pound of bullshit. Life is messy. Life is messy, and we're all freaks. There's never ever been no more. The winners who read the rules are lucky. We're all so lucky.
For Pedro's show, final music for this edition, The Lowest Low from Globeland, straight from Smart Leash to SoundCloud. Where did you record this album, Elizabeth?
In upstate New York, in Saugerties. It's like kind of by Kingston Woodstock area.
Sure. What's the name of the pad?
It's my friend Jay Anderson's studio. He, like, built it. It's out in the woods.
Ah, okay. So you had a lot of time.
Yeah, but we did it really quickly.
But you did it quick, okay. You had a lot of isolation, no distractions.
Yeah, no distractions, just out there alone.
And also, a lot of the tunes were already written, right? You weren't writing in the studio so much.
Yeah, no, a lot of them I already knew. It was actually kind of a battle because... Well, not a battle, but, like, yeah, I already knew what I wanted. Sometimes when you record people, they have their own vision of what they want on it.
Sure.
But it's like, you know, I wanted it to be purposely minimal. Like, I'm into having overdubs and being a loud sound. Like, Globelamp is a project that will continue. But in my discography, I wanted an album in there that was, like, stripped down, and that was, like, me acoustic. So that way,
sure,
somebody listens to all my albums, there's one in there that's, like, just not as, like... all over the place and trippy and dreamy, because the other ones have a lot more going on. And people have a natural inclination to want to add stuff on it. So it was kind of like a battle to, like, be like, no, I just want it like this.
So would you say that you were the producer?
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. We had Dolom with Freedom for Some, then Spain. Spain is Petra Hayden's brother Josh. God is Love. Finally, Romantic Cancer. Globeland. Watch out for those tumors, for that tumor.
I am not a tumor.
What was that? That was Arnold Schwarzenegger? Yeah, right. In a movie or something, right?
Not a tumor.
Tumor.
Not a tumor.
Something like that. Where do people find you on the internet, Elizabeth?
to listen to me, like on Bandcamp and Spotify and Apple Music everywhere.
No, but is there a Globe Lamp website? Is there a Elizabeth Lefay website?
I have a YouTube channel that I use a lot. I live stream. And
look,
also,
let me give you some advice. Get an ElizabethLefay.com website. It's just like your own fanzine, okay? You can go to all those other places too, but you should have your own.
Yeah, because some people. Well, I just have every medium, so whatever anybody has, I'm on there.
Yeah, but
I use Instagram.
This is just a suggestion. It's just a suggestion.
Yeah, no, I used to, but it just kind of was like I didn't use it as much. I used to have a website, globelamp.com.
Ah, great. Okay, and are you going to record? Are you going to tour this album?
I don't know right now. At the moment, I might a little bit, but.
And if you go out, what will you do? Will you play just guitar singing? Or will you have a band?
Yeah, I have a keyboard.
Okay.
There might be somebody else in the band. It just matters on the situation and who's around, because I can always add people or not.
Who's got an accordion?
Yeah, I'm writing a song, though, I'm working on writing, because I'm recording a song with the guitarist of Third Eye Blind, Kevin Cadigan. He's, like, the guy, he's, like, honestly, I got read about Third Eye Blind and how the guitarist got effed over by the lead singer really badly. And so I made this YouTube video about it. Like I said, I'm a YouTuber, and I make videos, too. I live stream. This actually, like, helped my income. Like, this is, like, a way for me. It's,
wow,
like,
you should make a living off doing that.
It's like, it's helped me a lot, like, gain, like, momentum and stuff. But he saw my video, and he, you know, like, saw, and he's like, it's good to see a young artist, like, learning from my mistakes, because basically the lead singer, like, went behind their back and made this name under his name instead of the whole band. It's just, like, he ripped them off a lot, and the next thing I knew, he was, like, suing them. Like, a week later, it was, like, TMZ, like, Kevin Cadigan, like, suing the singer. It's like, because he helped write their biggest album. Like, he was the lead guitarist, like, and the songwriter for their album that was, like, the one everyone knows. Doo, doo, doo. Like, that album was the only one. They have, like, six albums. That was the only one that was... And,
don't
you know,
take...
I'm like, a songwriter.
Elizabeth,
gonna write, like,
make sure you don't take too long writing that song.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Look. It's been a big honor to have you on the show. Me and Brother Matt want to thank you so much for telling us about this. And I like this advice, too, about people got to take care of themselves or get beat up in this racket, because it's rough. But I want you to keep on keeping on, okay? When you get another record, come on the show and talk about it.
I will. Thank you. Okay. It was awesome and an honor to be on the show.
Okay. Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aid in a bed.
Certainly always.
People, it's been March 14th, 2019 edition of Wapapiro Show. Keep your powder dry.